Well, happy Easter, and this is the day in the life of the church where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. On Easter Sunday, we use my favorite liturgical response, which is known as the Easter acclamation. We would normally start our service together by declaring, "Christ is risen," and you would respond, "He is risen indeed." It's a reminder to us that we serve a risen Savior, and because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead, we can declare, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Today, however we feel, Jesus has given us the victory over death, and that is something to celebrate. Every Sunday, we've not been able to gather together physically has been hard. But particularly today, because it's the second Easter Sunday, we've not been able to meet as a church family to celebrate together this world-changing event. So let's hope it's the last. Today's message is on the theme of hope. And in the next six Sundays, we are going to be looking at the hope that we have because of the resurrection of Jesus. Basil Hume wrote, "The great gift of Easter is hope. Christian hope, which makes us have that confidence in God, in His ultimate triumph and His goodness and love, which nothing can shake." So much has changed for each of us over this last year. Hopefully, we're on the way out of lockdown and the restrictions that have kept our lives safe start to ease. I use that word hope in the way the world uses it, not the biblical way. That would be, I hope that the restrictions ease. I hope it's not too long before I can hug my friends and family. I hope we can go on holiday again. I don't know when these things are going to happen, but I hope it's going to be soon. Now, when we use the word hope like this, there's no certainty of these things happening. We just hope they're going to happen. But the way the Bible uses the word hope is quite different. The hope here is not something like wishful thinking. And John Piper defines Christian hope as when God has promised that something is going to happen and you put your trust in that promise. Now, 1 Peter 1:13 is a good example of this, where it says, "Set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at His coming." That's talking about the second coming of Christ. Now, Piper goes on to say, "Christian hope is a confidence that something will come to pass because God has promised it, it will come to pass." So we can see that our hope is based on the promises of God. Now, as I look back on my life before I was a Christian, I put my hope in lots of things, hoping but with no certainty. I placed my hope in relationships, positions, sport, and career goals. And when relationships ended, positions were given to others, sporting goals did not materialize, and career hopes did not work out the way I'd hoped, despair and hopelessness often came into my life. And to be honest, even when things did work out, something inside yearned for a deeper meaning to life and a hope which went beyond this life. Things really came to a head for me when I was 17. While at school, while trying to work out what I was going to do, I went on a Royal Marines acquaint course. And during that course, one of the guys I'd got to know was killed, and I was the guy who found his body. One minute he was marching next to me, and the next he was gone. You know, at the age of 17, I thought I was invincible. I thought nothing could stop me. But in that moment, it was like I had been hit by my mortality. I had no answers. And lots of questions. The main one being, what happens to you when you die? I started to feel very hopeless as I could not find any answers to my questions. Life seemed pretty meaningless if this was all that there was. You know, a couple of months ago, I was sitting in the car while stopped at the pedestrian crossing at Juniper Green. And as I did this, this thought popped into my head. What brings you hope? And as I sat there and thought about it as before the lights turned green, that kind of turned into what brings me hope no matter what life throws at me. Now, one of the characters I love reading and rereading about in the Bible is Peter. Peter was one of those, was a rough and ready fisherman. He was a man who probably did and said things before thinking about them. He was eager to impress and did not like being outshone by the other disciples. Now, the first time we see Peter meet Jesus, some remarkable things happen that leads Peter to follow Jesus. Jesus was teaching at the Lake of Gennesaret, and there were so many people, it was getting difficult. So Jesus decides to get into one of the two boats that was around, and it just happens that it was Peter's boat, or Simon, as he was known then. The account goes on to tell us that when Jesus had finished teaching, he tells Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Now, Simon objects because they'd been fishing all night, but he eventually does what Jesus tells him to do. And the account tells us, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Simon Peter's reaction was significant. He fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything and followed him. Peter in that moment is given a new calling and leaves everything to follow Jesus. That's a pretty big move. Peter then followed Jesus for the next 3 years, making various mistakes along the way. Now, the biggest was when he denied knowing Jesus 3 times, as Jesus had predicted after Jesus was arrested. Peter, as you can imagine, felt the shame and guilt of what he had done, denying his best friend. But if that was not bad enough, Jesus was not just arrested, he was flogged and then crucified. And once dead, he was laid in a tomb. So on top of the guilt and shame, Peter was now feeling pretty hopeless because his friend, who he had denied knowing, was now dead. But as we read on in Peter's story, there's an event that radically changes not just his life, but the world. From the gospel accounts, we see something happens early on the first day of the week after Jesus had been crucified. If we follow John's account, it was the women who discovered that Jesus's tomb was empty. Peter and another disciple then go and see for themselves that the tomb was empty. There is another encounter with one of the women. And then in the evening, the risen Lord Jesus appears to the disciples. There are a number of these appearances, but the one that is most significant for Peter is when he has gone fishing. He is out in the boat and an unknown figure stands on the shore, telling them to throw their nets out into the water. What followed was another remarkable catch. Sound familiar? You can read about it in John 21. But after Peter realizes it's Jesus, he jumps into the water and swims ashore because Peter was desperate to see and talk with Jesus, to know whether he could be forgiven, whether Jesus was going to forgive him, and whether he had a part to play in the ministry that Jesus was now going to give them. There on the shore, Peter meets the risen Lord Jesus. And after breakfast, Jesus, through asking Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" not only forgives Peter, dealing with his guilt and shame, but also calls him into leadership, giving Peter purpose and meaning and hope to his life. How was this possible? Only through the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus hadn't been raised, then Peter would have remained broken and filled with shame, guilt, and hopelessness. We see the results of this encounter in the rest of Peter's life. Here are just a few things that we see in Peter's life. He leads about 3,000 to Christ on the day of Pentecost. He becomes the leader of the church in Jerusalem. He writes a gospel by dictating it to Mark. That's Mark's gospel. Peter's life was radically changed because of the resurrection of Jesus. From hopelessness to going around sharing the hope that he experienced through the resurrection of Jesus. I want us to take a break for a moment and look at some other people's lives who have been changed because Jesus rose from the dead.
Choose to trust you, no matter. For my champion's not dead, he is alive. Oh, and he already knows my every need. Surely he will come and rescue me.
As we see from those cardboard testimony, Jesus continues to change people's lives, just as he did Peter's, because he's the risen Savior. We, like Peter, deserve nothing from him, from God, yet Jesus gave his life for us so we could be forgiven and restored and be given a hope. Through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we've received a new identity as children of God, a new meaning in life. We're known and loved by God and called to do his will. But what is crucial for each one of us is that we now have received a hope that not even death can destroy. You know, you now can answer my question, which that popped into my mind as I sat at the lights at Juniper Green. What brings me hope no matter what life throws at me? The resurrection of Jesus from the dead. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, as he said that he would before being arrested, then as Paul makes clear in 1 Corinthians 15:17, and if Christ had not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. That would mean that we could not come into God's presence. The resurrection of Jesus proves not just that we are forgiven, but that death has been conquered and Jesus' word can be trusted. From this comes hope, not just for our present life, but also for our future life with God, as we move into eternity with God. Now, you might have seen my cardboard testimony. I felt hopeless before Christ came into my life because what life had thrown at me. I had no hope in the present and no hope for the future after seeing my friend die. I was full of anxious thoughts. But when I placed my faith in the risen Christ, I was filled with a hope that calmed my anxiety about my present and my future life. But that's not where it stopped, because my life since then has been transformed by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who now lives in me. What I love about Peter's story is that he uses what he'd experienced to help others who were struggling in the midst of a difficult situation and probably feeling hopeless. About 2 or 3 years before Peter was martyred by being crucified, he wrote this letter around 62 to 63 AD called 1 Peter. And he wrote it from Rome, some Christians who had been scattered in the areas of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, which is modern day Turkey, and which were under Roman control. He wrote to encourage them because they were in the midst of suffering because of because of their faith in Jesus. But he also wrote to remind them of the hope they had even in the midst of this suffering and persecution because of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Here is a small extract from 1 Peter. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And then verse 20, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now, Peter starts with praising the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. This reminds us that we are to approach God as our Father, and as we see in Jesus' life, he's the perfect Father. Peter goes on to remind us of just how good and perfect the Father is. He says, in his great mercy, he, He has given us new birth. You know, we didn't deserve this new life, this new earth, but we've been offered it out of God the Father's great mercy, his great love for us. God the Father does not treat us as our sins deserve. And Paul makes that clear when he wrote, "But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Not when we had it all together, not when we were trying to love God, but whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Peter goes on to remind us and his readers that God the Father has given us new birth into a living hope. Now, hope that is truly living hope would have to have conquered what stood against it. That's death. And we know what brings us not just hope, but a living hope. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, when my friend died on the Marines course, Royal Marines course, I stared death in the face. I had no answers. I'd been raised going to church, but I had no idea of what the resurrection of Jesus Christ had accomplished for me and the hope I could have that it would bring into my life, even in the face of death. But when I came to faith, that hopelessness went, that anxiety went, and hope resided in me. Just as we've seen in Peter's life and those who shared their cardboard testimonies. Now, Jesus is continuing to change people's lives, even today. The world did not give us this hope, and it cannot take it away. Our hope, even in the midst of persecution and suffering, because Jesus's resurrection changed everything and smashed death. Today, not even death can take your hope away because Jesus conquered death. And the early Christians who were being persecuted were able to stand knowing that in his great mercy, he had given them new birth into a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, Peter in verse 20 states, "And so your faith and hope are in God." Through Peter's life, we see how the resurrection of Jesus radically changed his life, from being hopeless to being hope-filled, even in the face of suffering and persecution. This radical change came from Peter putting in his faith and hope in God. Now, if we place our faith or hope in anything other than God, we will find hopelessness creep into our lives over time, because only Jesus conquered death. Remember how Piper defined hope. Christian hope is a confidence that something will come to pass because God has promised it will come to pass. But I believe Peter is helping us to see that we can have hope not just for the future, but also in the present. If you're doubting God this morning and feeling a bit hopeless, then just remember what God did for you when you were still a sinner. A verse that shows us this is Romans 8:32. The first half of the verse reminds us of how God treated us when we were still a sinner. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. God gave his most precious thing for us when we had turned our backs on him, while we were still sinners. God the Father gave Jesus up for us all to die on a cross so that our sins could be forgiven, and that he could raise Jesus from the dead and conquer death and give us a new hope, so we could experience the good news of the kingdom of God in our lives. And part of that is hope. But the second half of the verse looks to the present, how he will not also, along with him, graciously give us all things. That gives me hope. God has not just blessed us by giving us his son, but will continue to bless us in what we need. Why? Because he's a good, good father, and all the promises of God are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. Knowing that God's love loves us like this, with an act of love which brings his provision into our lives, frees us to be love to others, not just in the church, but those outside the church. We no longer need to be anxious about our lives in the present, because our Father in heaven will look after us. Remember Jesus' words, which were said while teaching on worry. So do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?" For the pagans run after these things, and yet your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Matthew 6. That's a great couple of verses to underline. My challenge to us this Easter is not just to celebrate this hope, but allow this hope to grow in our lives. Now, how might we do this, you ask? Well, notice what the psalmist declares in Psalm 130, verse 5. He says this, I'm counting on the Lord. Yes, I'm counting on him. I have put my hope in his word. When we hear or read God's word, our faith is strengthened and hope arises. As we read God's promises and stand on them, I believe hope arises because we serve a God who is faithful to his promises. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ is proof of that. We can't really know what is ahead. Of course, we're all hoping for better days and progress along the roadmap to recovery from the pandemic. But what if there are still hard things ahead, or if some things become harder before it becomes easier? I believe we can build our hope in God as we move forward through these times, so we can be helped and we can stand firm. So let's not focus on the problems as we move forward, because they will make us feel hopeless. And so often there is very little we can do about them anyway. But let's bring God, let's focus, put our attention on our faithful God and come to him in prayer. Let's focus on Christ and what he has achieved for us through the resurrection from the dead. Let's look to the promises of God and stand on them, for they are our solid ground where everything else is shifting sands. Hope arises as we read and declare God's word and his promises. And I wonder if a way to start building our hope is by declaring a couple of scriptures together. So they're going to appear on the screen and let's declare them together and feel faith and hope arise. Let's start with Psalm 130, verse 5. I'm counting on the Lord. Yes, I'm counting on him. I have put my hope in his word. Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Psalm 37, verse 4. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And then this final one, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's start to live our lives filled with the hope that comes from the resurrection of our risen Savior, so we can do as Peter did and bring hope to those who are struggling, who we meet each day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you kept your promise and sent your son into this world to show us what you're like, to let us experience the kingdom of God, but also to conquer death, to free us from the power of sin and give us a living hope in your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for your obedience. Thank you that you went to the cross for us, that you died to take the penalty of our sin, but you rose again to give us a living hope. Help us to live in that hope today. And we pray, we ask God, as the God of hope, that you would fill us with this living hope so that we can live for you and that we can share this hope. It's another way of being loved to others, by sharing this hope that we have in you. So we give you thanks. We give you praise. And we just celebrate you this day. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, Amen. Now it's Easter Sunday, which means we normally, if we were together, have some mini chocolate eggs to eat with our teas and coffees. Well, I'm sorry, but we can't do that. And we haven't posted it out to you either. But we've got something for you, which is a bit different, but a lot of fun. I want to say thank you to Andrew and his band for putting together something which is different, but it is great fun. So let's enjoy Andrew's rendition as we close of I Serve a Risen Savior.